Hey, everybody, welcome to A World on Fire, Season 3. Yes, this is the debut. We're in March here with this recording, but, better late than never. I mean, there were no promises for Season 3 other than a Darwin Cook story, but I'm going to, sprinkle in a couple of little stories here and there, and this first one is got my buddy Ross here with me. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Ready to talk DC Comics Presents.
Yeah, man, I was just browsing through the DC app, and I thought to myself, well, let me take a look at DC Comics Presents here, and I'm scrolling through, looking at all the different covers, and then I'm like, whoa, there's one with Superman and the Freedom Fighters? I thought, oh, I want to talk about that for sure, and I read it and thought it was cool, and, since you and I covered the Freedom Fighters, I thought, well, why not you and I cover this one, right?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about this one, and when I read it, I was like, this was not in my, I read all the Team Up books religiously when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I definitely read this one because it came out when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. But I didn't remember it at all, which is kind of cool. So it was kind of fresh when I read it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like it's, like you said, it was, it's cover dated October 1983. We're firmly in the 60-cent era here, which is kind of sad for me. Once you get over that 50-cent mark, I kind of like, oh boy, here we go. Now I feel like now the prices are really starting to go up with more.
Yeah, now when I pay $4.99 for a new comic every now and then, it's like, what the heck, man? I used to get these for 50 cents, quarter.
Oh, man. Well, let's just, mentally go back to that time where we're still paying that. Maybe we can get over the newer, higher prices.
Oh, yeah. I was like hanging out at a comic shop and earning credit by helping them out.
Mm. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a good deal. Wish I could do that now.
Oh, I know. Me too.
Well, this one's got a really cool cover here by Gil Kane. And, when I first looked at this cover, there was two things I didn't see right away that I had to really, really get the magnifying glass out here for. But Gil Kane's signature is actually on this cover right above Earth there.
Oh, yeah. It's his GK dot signature.
Yeah. But this is a cool cover. What do you think of this one?
I really liked it. I like Gil Kane covers. I don't always like Gil Kane inside sometimes. I mean, I just, he's great on certain things and other things I don't think. Like, I'm not a fan when he would draw Spider-Man once in a while.
Okay.
It was just weird. But like his Sword and Sorcery Adam series in the 80s, I love that. And I love his covers. I do love his covers. This is a great cover.
Yeah, the only thing his that when I saw the interiors really kind of made me like, this isn't for me, is for some reason he did some Conan. And that just to me wasn't the greatest. I didn't really enjoy that.
Now, if it's not Winsor Smith or
Big John, yeah.
Or Big John or Patrick Zurcher. He does a lot of Conan. He's doing some... and I like his art.
Oh, cool.
I follow him because I liked his. He took over Thunderbolts from Mark Bagley and did some other stuff I read. Mm-hmm. And I finally read New Warriors for the first time. And
yeah.
He did some of that too. But I do like this. And he's got a very DC style. Does that mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this is a great cover. It's got, the DC Comics Presents banner across the top and then the Superman and Freedom Fighters logos, which I absolutely love. And it's kind of a weird way to do a cover. But we have like a black storm cloud in the background with a lightning bolt coming through. And then in front of it, we have the Freedom Fighters, Black Condor, Uncle Sam, Doll Man, Human Bomb, and our buddy over there, the Ray. And then Superman's kind of to the top and a little bit to the right flying towards us. And they're kind of just like running towards us. And we've got a bunch of Sieg Heilers here. You can't see them per se, but you just see the barrels of their guns and then Sieg Heiling. And it's interesting that on the inside, I don't know if DC had a rule of not putting a swastika on the cover, but we know there's a tiny little one drawn on a sleeve of one of these clowns.
Just so you know, it's a Nazi. Because if you don't have it, what are they doing? Waving?
Yeah, you don't.
I knew they had to put it there because it wouldn't have made any sense.
Now, on the interiors, they have the swastikas on the interiors like on these guys all the time. But on the cover, I thought, oh, maybe they thought that would, you know, piss some people off or turn some people off. So they didn't want to have it prominent.
Well, you couldn't, like you say, I don't know if they sell American comics in Germany, but you wouldn't have been able to sell this comic in Germany because it's illegal. It's illegal to publish anything with a swastika on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. But it's a great cover.
But it's very jarring in comparison to the art that is inside.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you there. And speaking of the inside here, this is the story is called Born on the 4th of July. And it's got script and plotting by Bob Rozakis and Dan Mishkin, and pencils by Irv Novik, inks Dave Hunt, colors Gene D'Angelo, and letters John Costanza. So a lot of those DC names that we'd been seeing over the past 5 or 10 years up until this point, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not the biggest Irv Novak fan. He drew a lot of Flash and a lot of Batman. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was bad. He's never someone I thought was great. He drew very standard 60s, early 70s DC.
Yeah, kind of like a journeyman.
Yeah, that's it. But I do love Dave Hunt's inks on him because I think I like Dave Hunt's inks.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that one. Agree with you.
I think he improves a lot of people's art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one there. So, all right, well, why don't we dive in here? So there's a quick little synopsis here on the DC Fandom website. I'm going to liberally borrow. It says, Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters come to Earth One to stop neo-Nazis from stealing and destroying America's most precious documents, an act which, on Earth X, led to the Third Reich's victory. But Superman is busy with other national crises and cannot help them. He doesn't fully realize the importance of what they are doing until they succeed, and their victory causes the problems to vanish. So, all right, let's this comic does start out with a very interesting scene here with some kids going on a field trip. What did you think of this prologue page?
It was a little jarring at first because, I mean, I had no memory of reading this. And I like their history, Museum of History, and they're going to see the Declaration of Independence, and which is cool because I'm a direct descendant of Thomas Jefferson. He's my five greats grandfather. So, and I grew up as a kid and we would go and see the, you've ever been to the Merritt National Archives?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's a copy of it in the Constitution. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I thought I liked it. I want to know, does this kid live in the DC universe or is this Earth Prime?
Yeah, I'm not sure because the kid here that we're going to be talking about primarily with this prologue here, he has a Superman sweatshirt on and then he is reading this issue of DC Comics Presents.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
I liked it. And I kind of think because this comic is very preachy in a way. It's not terrible. Mm-hmm. But you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's let's teach that Nazis are scumbags, which is a good mm-hmm. lesson to teach. Mm-hmm. So I kind of liked it.
I like how the one kid calls it the Declaration of Independence.
I like how the teacher's like, no, you can almost hear the teacher thinking, God, you're a moron.
She's like, that's declaration, Bobby.
Uh-huh. Bobby's the problem child who eats crayons dipped in paste.
Well, this other kid, he doesn't give a crap about that. He wants to read his comic books. So he just kind of stays behind out in the lobby and he's going to open up this comic book and read it. And that's fantastic. I love that premise. It's again, maybe it's a little dated, but it's cute and I like it.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I like a framing sequence sometimes because, you know, these are team up books are always kind of like one and dones for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like the framing sequence. I think it works for this story.
Yes. And then something else works for me tremendously is when you turn the page and we get a 2-page splash here. This is tremendous. We have a roll call, kind of the circles with the heads in them on the left of the Freedom Fighters. And then Uncle Sam jumping off of a plateau into the air to get Superman's attention to tell him that, you know, there's something wrong here and you need to help us. And Superman kind of blows him off here, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like, what, is there something wrong with Superman?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I thought when I read it, I thought there might have been something wrong. Like, oh, what's going on? Is there going to be some trick that Superman's been, messed with and, you know, not being responsive. But you see what it is, because he's stopping a natural disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees it as more important than saving the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I like how Superman flies off and says, I'll help you with it when I can, old timer. I'm like, wow.
Superman is a bit disrespectful to Uncle Sam in this comic.
Yeah, there's a little of the, you know, super dickery at the beginning here. But this next page, too. I love Superman. You know, there's like an oil geyser, like just blasting off, and he needs to stop it. And I do like the artwork here. Like, you know, we were saying this Irv Novik and Dave Hunt combo here is really good. And the colorist, too. Got to mention Gene D'Angelo, because I like this, the color, like this oil, just like a geyser coming out of nowhere. And then Superman looking down towards it with his X-ray vision to see where the actual problem is. And he can't figure out what the problem is here. But I like how he just dives right down into it. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's got some great super, you know, that Superman action where he's doing the big things, like diving into the earth, using his heat vision to control all this stuff. And I do like the panel layout, the kind of trapezoidal shapes of everything, that it's not everything's not all square.
Good call out there.
Yeah, I think I really do like Irv Novak's storytelling in this, and I think Dave Hunt really adds a lot to it.
Yeah, totally agree there. Yeah, it's a 5-panel page, but it's not, like you said, none of the panels are exactly rectangular or square. They're all off a little bit, which it's really good. I think it adds to the dynamism here.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's you know, he, like you said, he's a journeyman, so he knows how to change the action around by just changing our perspective by looking at odd shaped things in a certain order. I think it works. I really do. It looks really, really good. And this is like 83, so they were doing more with color. I mean, I'm looking at it digitally. It is the original coloring palette, but it's digit. You know what I mean? It's been digitized, so it's a little cleaner. Did you read it with the issue or on the app?
I'm looking at it on the app as well. And I mean, if I had the original, I'd feel differently. But I think the digital version here looks fantastic.
Yeah, I think they stayed true to it. I don't think it's not like some books where they really just go and recolor it, which I think is wrong, unless it's like Neil Adams did Dead Man. And when they reprinted it in its first hardcover edition years ago, he came back and he recolored it. Hmm. But he was the original colorist then.
Oh, gotcha.
So that's fantastic. He basically played with the saturations.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so it was just a little more vibrant. But then they recolored the Alan Moore Swamp Thing, and it looks really bad. This I like. This I really like.
Yeah, this is fantastic. So, yeah, Superman, he's able to contain this. And then he says he needs to find a dry cleaner because his costume's all full of oil. But Sam goes back to the Freedom Fighters and kind of says to them, hey, you know, Superman wouldn't give me the time of day. So, you know, we're on our own. And again, it's not the end of the world. They know how to fight against, evil and injustice on their own. They don't necessarily need Superman here. But, they go and we then switch scenes to these crazy Nazi guys. And they're, you know, having like basically a rally, and they have their flag, and they're saying how they're going to, basically they're going to try to do what they always do, which is use force to take over the world and, you know, make things right, so they say, for the what does the guy say here? First, we will control America, and tomorrow the world. And all these guys, like that final panel on page 6 there, those guys looking like they look like zombies the way they're looking at them.
And their leader is crazed. He's just manic.
Oh, yeah. And he actually has a ring with the Nazi symbol on it as well, as if.
Dude, do you wear that in public and not get punched in the face?
Yeah, really. Oh my gosh. But here's something interesting. So we get meanwhile in Metropolis, and I don't know why this is, and this, I'm sure this is not most people, but for me, I just always think of Superman and then Clark Kent and as a reporter. I don't ever think of him as the TV guy, but he's still in the GBS, WGBS TV.
See, when I was
anchor.
A kid, he was always a TV guy. I think he had been the TV guy for a while, wasn't he? Like 10, 15 years?
Yeah, I think at least since like what, the early to mid 70s that started, and now it's like mid 80s.
Yeah, it'd been at least a decade, because I some of the first Supermans I read were that Swanderson stuff, and he's the news anchor then.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is awesome. So he starts talking, you know, about these natural disasters going on, and then Josh, who I'm assuming is like a producer, opens the door, and Clark is like, you know, Josh, what are you doing? We're on the air. And he goes, no, we're actually not. So there's something, you know, going wrong with the signal, and the nothing's going through the airwaves. Which I like. So that means Clark was sitting there talking to nobody for I don't know how long, which is hilarious. And of course, he's like, you know, well, this is a job for Superman. So we get a panel of him, you know, getting his shirt ripped off here. And he's halfway there. He's got the top off. So he's just in his civvies here, his civilian pants. But he's got the Superman uniform on underneath it. I love it.
I don't know how no one notices that balled up cape bulge in the back. It's like, Clark, do you have a hunchback? How is that working there? I never understood the costume underneath the clothes.
Yeah, I mean, that's not as bad as, you know, when Batman puts on a rubber mask and we don't see the cowl underneath.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? That thing's a helmet. How are you hiding that? But, you know, he finds a crop light, and then he flies to the Fortress of Solitude, and he's on his super microscope and his supercomputer.
Oh, I love it. Love the Fortress of Solitude. We see the big key there and everything.
Yeah, I love this stuff. This is some of that Silver Age stuff that I think should stay always. I don't think there was ever a reason to kind of modernize it.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to the city here as Superman's accomplishing all that. And we have the Freedom Fighters here. And I will say on page 9 there, man, Black Condor looks jacked up. Like, he's got a body that Schwarzenegger, even in his prime, would have been jealous of.
Yeah, I think that's Dave Hunt doing that, because I've always noticed Irv Novak draws everybody kind of thin and tall and lanky. But it's, yeah, Black Condor looks like he's well, at least his upper body is roided up.
Yeah, he's jacked. And I mean, I know he was like a more muscular kind of character, but this is like really over the top. He looks really jacked.
Yeah. And you notice how him and the Doll Man look like twin brothers?
They do. They're very similar. And Doll Man, I thought, looked like Superman with that little, you know, curl there in his on his forehead.
Yeah, it
very
does.
Very Superman. I like how he's sitting on the Ray's shoulder there too. By the way, when he comes in, and I like Human Bomb too. He says, "The last time we were here, we were wanted by the police for crimes we didn't commit." And all I thought of was the A-Team right there.
Oh yeah. And it's just a little flashback because them going back to Earth X, and I saw the note in the Fandom Wiki that, like, Firebrand is dead, the Silver Ghost, who was their big villain, is dead, and Phantom Lady retired. And that all happens in the canceled comic Cavalcade. Mm-hmm. It was the issue, you know, it was the last issue of Freedom Fighters that wasn't published, or the last two, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know, they're they put them back on Earth X. And but they put it, so what I don't get for this story, so why even mention that they moved back to Earth X and are coming to Earth One to fight the Nazis? That was the thing. I was like, why even mention it?
Yeah, I don't know. Not sure what
it doesn't add anything to the story. You could just have the Freedom Fighter. That's what they do, is they travel around the world and fight fascists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I don't know if they were trying to just, you know, maybe they hadn't talked about or shown Earth X in a long time. So they were trying to make sure, you know, some maybe more younger readers knew what they were all about. But
that may be it. Because they would have felt the need to explain that they used to be from another planet. But I think that would have made sense. It's like, hey, we had to fight the Nazis for 40 years.
Mm hmm.
You guys didn't, so we're gonna make sure that this never happens on this Earth. But I like it. It also feels like the Freedom Fighters series that we covered. You know, they're just kind of randomly walking around in costume, and having these interactions, like the two kids fighting, the black kid and the white kid fighting, because, you know, there's something's making them more violent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, at first I didn't get the correlation between, you know, Uncle Sam, I guess at some point he does say, hey, the reason these natural disasters are happening and the reason that, you know, people are just fighting with each other for no apparent reason is because those documents were stolen, which, again, it's kind of ludicrous. But hey, we're talking about comic books here.
Oh, yeah, because that's the only reason, right, that people are freaked out because they've been stolen. You know, there are other copies of them.
Yeah, like it's almost like those things are the spirit of America. And with that gone, it's just going to be chaos. And I mean, they do say at some point that's what happened on Earth X as well. And I didn't know if that was a retcon or if that had been said before, because I don't ever remember them saying that Freedom Fighter series you and I covered.
Yeah, but if the Nazis took over the United States, they would have burned all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't, what I mean? I don't,
they would have just burnt it.
Yeah, so that was interesting. I thought, I wonder if they ever mentioned that previously, but maybe, maybe not. But I don't remember you and I talking about it in the Freedom Fighter series. No. So maybe at another point they mentioned that. But yeah, so they are trying to break up these two kids from fighting. But literally, you know, it looks like 100 people are in this like massive brawl just beyond them. So we got to, you know, break this up. And it's like, well, good luck. There's five of you and like 500 of these people.
But I like how they break them up. And, you know, Uncle Sam tries to talk to him, separating him. The doll is just kicking people in the face. The ring zapping him. Yeah, he drop kicks people. And then the human bomb takes off his shoe and stomps his foot. And the explosion knocks everybody over.
Yeah, and I will say, too, I guess this is a little bit of a mistake by the colorist here. Well, he's like, I'm going to take this shoe off and use my bare feet. And he has a sock on.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of funny, but that knocks everybody over. And you would think, okay, maybe that knocks some sense into people. And it's like, nope, it sure didn't. They just resume fighting as if they don't give a crap about these costumed heroes. But, you know, here comes Superman, and they see him coming, and they're like, oh, he'll put a stop to this. And they kind of, I don't understand why they go running down the alleyway here. I'm thinking, if he's coming and he's going to help with all those people fighting.
Yeah, well, Uncle Sam goes, we have more important business, which is, I think, to go beat up the Nazis. So mm-hmm. Superman can take care of the rioters, but he's also worrying about a convoy of Soviet ships heading to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And the president has a mission for him.
Yeah. And it's interesting. He has that thought bubble in his head, and we can actually see the picture of it in his, you know, thought bubble, which is interesting. Usually thought bubbles, all you see are words, but there's an actual picture there.
I kind of like that the picture's there. I think it's better. Yeah. I like how he gets the rioters to calm down. He uses his super breath to pull all the oxygen out so they pass out.
Yeah, I did think about that, too. And I thought, you know, everybody's body is kind of different where
how many of them died?
Yeah, like some of the people, it probably wouldn't have knocked out, you know, maybe only a couple. Most of them probably would have gotten knocked out when unconscious, but then he probably would have killed a couple of them.
Oh, yeah, some guy with, like, bad heart, bad tickers, gets no air and just drops. Someone has a stroke. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, somebody that's, like, a really heavy smoker and their lungs are half shot, they probably died.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But Uncle Sam, he's in tune with these documents because he's Uncle Sam. So he is able to sniff out the hideout here for the Nazis, which I love. It's just, like, a random-looking building with, like, you know, yellow bricks. But it has a steel door, a riveted steel door as the entrance.
Yeah, with no door handle or nothing. So Human Bomb blows it up.
Yeah.
Then I like this when they invade the building and they're having the fight. There's some good action in this comic.
Oh, this is great. Yeah, like you said, the Human Bomb blows the door. I guess he didn't know the secret knock or whatever. So
well, that was his secret knock. I just punch it and then there's no door.
Well, then I love that very first panel where it shows the crazy Nazis with the guns and they're shooting like crazy. And then they try to shoot Doll Man and he just shrinks down to doll size and they're shooting a Human Bomb, which I guess his helmet is bulletproof. I didn't realize it, but it certainly looks like it is in this.
But how loud is that as those things hit his head? It's like, oh, God, man, stop it. My head, my ears.
And then the Black Condor is like, quit complaining, Bomb, and get on the offensive. We've got to stop these clowns and find their leader. And there, you know, there's a lot of these guys in this building. So, yeah, I mean, the Freedom Fighters, they're not just average Joes, but they're not Superman either. So it's going to take them a while to, you know, stop these guys and then find the leader. And in the meantime, we go back to Superman and he's gone to see these Russian ships. And he thinks my supervision will allow me to sneak a peek at them. And he says, just as I feared, the vessels are equipped with nuclear bombs. So, you know, he's got a little bit of a conundrum here. It's not like he can just, you know, heat vision them and blow them up, right?
Yeah, and as he thinks, it's the Cuban Missile Crisis all over again.
Mm-hmm. And then that quick, just those two little panels of him, that quick, back to the brawl here. And we got the Bomb and Ray punching people out, and Doll Man as well, and Sam's there. And, you know, again, there's a crap load of these Nazis. So it's taken a while for them to fight all these guys. But then Uncle Sam at some point kind of sneaks away and is like, you know, they can kind of handle this crew here. I got to go find where these documents are. I got to look for this madman behind all this. And he does find the guy and he confronts him. And the guy is able to kind of get the drop on Sam and like put him on his back foot here, because he has a lighter. And he holds it up to the documents and says he's going to burn them if Sam comes any closer.
And then Ray shoots light, right?
And, yeah.
But he can pull the flame? That's not what he's shooting. What?
Well, here's how the Ray explains it. The Ray says, "You'll do no such thing, Nazi. When my power can control any flame you care to light." And like you said, wait a minute. Like, there is light to a flame, but it's really like a fuel being burned up.
Yeah, it's really...
it's okay. Comic book science.
It's comic book science. But then Uncle Sam dives. It looks more like he's falling over.
Yeah,
to tackle the guy.
Close enough to like to jump like that, it looks like.
Yeah. And to try to get it. And then we cut back to... This is the thing. This is the... What's coming up next is where it really has comic book science in it. So Superman is following the Russian ships with the cube, with the missiles, and then realizes, oh, the space shuttle is going to crash into this ship just randomly.
Yeah, there's a joke here somewhere about, you know, a ship full of missiles, and then here comes a space shuttle that's going to crash into it. It's like, this is insanity. And I mean, I get it. They were trying to portray Superman having some major indecision here and not knowing what to do, because, you know, that's, again, he's basically, you know, he's from Krypton, but he was raised since, you know, very early childhood in America. So I guess, you know, those documents kind of mean something to him as well. So he's having some indecision as well, because those things are in jeopardy. I think it all kind of ties together, which, like we said, again, is absolutely ludicrous, but it does mean he doesn't know what to do here, right?
Yeah, yeah, it does. And then it cuts in with Uncle Sam kind of losing to the Nazi a little bit.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, he's, you know, because Sam, doesn't he have kind of like super strength and stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
but his power is drawn. They do say his power is drawn from patriotism. So maybe he has like a Nazi or fascist is like kryptonite to him.
Or and maybe since, because, yeah, he has those documents and people's patriotism is waning. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because that's how they work. They have magical powers, people. It's not that, you know, the Constitution is a wonderfully crafted document. No, it's magical.
Well, this Nazi, yeah, he's able to knock Sam away. And it keeps flipping back and forth from each scene. You know, we have Superman with the indecision, which... He finally does figure, hey, wait a minute, I'll just pick up the ship so then the space shuttle won't crash into it. But the space shuttle actually looks like it's doing a nosedive at this point. And I'm pretty sure the space shuttle doesn't have these capabilities where it can go.
No. It's basically a brick with two little wings that glides. It's a glider. Yeah. None of this could happen. Those rockets don't work in Earth's atmosphere. There's not enough thrust. They're just meant to get you into orbit and then move a little bit. So yes. And this is pre Challenger.
Yeah, only by about a year, I think, right?
A year. No, me and my wife were at a conference
2 years
this week,
like that.
And we were walking to it in this building at VCU, and I was saying, you know, I haven't been in that building since I was a student 40 years ago. And that's where I watched the Challenger explosion over and over again, because it happened. We were all on our way to class and then there were no classes. So we all went into the commons at the university and drank because the drinking age was lower. Mm-hmm. And we spent the whole day watching it. But I'm a space nerd and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is not how the space shuttle worked.
Yeah, no, it completely does, you know, a thrust and it comes right back up in the air. When it was like 20 feet from hitting the water.
Yeah,
not happening.
And Superman picks the ship up just so it doesn't run into it. So you've got the space shuttle plummeting to Earth and then doing this big loop underneath a giant Russian missile carrier. and then it flying back. It's like, why did you even have the shuttle in it? That's what I didn't understand, why it needed to be in it, other than to show, you know, we're very proud of the shuttle. It's American ingenuity. It's the most complicated machine we have ever created. It is America. It's America. You know, I think that's kind of it.
Yeah. Well, the Nazi, he, after pushing Sam to the ground, then he's got like a billy club or something, or a nightstick, and he's going to clobber Sam with it. But then Sam kind of gets the drop on him here and like kicks him. It almost looks like he tried to kick him in the balls here, which is fine. and he knocks the guy down and grabs the documents like everything's going to be okay. But then there's one of the Nazi head guy's subordinates here who's like, I don't know if he was one of the guys that was in that brawl and he just came away from it, or he was just like, you know, maybe he's you know, his like right-hand man, so he was kind of watching this. But this guy thinks to himself, he's got the drop on Sam here, and he has a machine gun pointed at him, and he thinks, that's what you think, fool. I'll get those papers, and then I will be leader. The world will bow. So this guy, who's supposed to be, you know, thinking, oh, we're all one big happy family here, you can see he's just a regular ratsy like the rest of them. He just wants to be in charge now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he gets blasted by Superman's heat vision. He blasts the guy's weapon, and, you know, Sam's got the documents then, and Superman then says, and after taking care of the last crisis, I tracked you down, figuring you'd be where the real action was. Sorry I put you off before. Maybe the next time I'll listen when Uncle Sam calls. So that's so, you know, that's where it kind of goes here. You know, everything's all safe and everything's fantastic and cool. But then this was wild here. So then Clark has Uncle Sam on the evening news. This was wild.
Oh, wait a minute. But remember, he flies the documents back because the Russians aren't listening to President Reagan.
And they
bring the documents back. It's like President Reagan. It's supposed to be Ronnie. It's inferred. But it's like, I don't know what else we can do, gentlemen. The Soviets refused to consider calling their ships back. They practically left it. And then Superman and Uncle Sam fly in through an open window in the White House, which, folks, windows don't open in White House. They didn't open in the White House in the 80s. They were just big, thick, you know, they don't do that.
Probably bulletproof.
Yeah, they're probably about 2.5 inches thick. And hey, no, people took pot shots at the White House when Ronnie was in the office. So I grew up around there. So, yeah, it happened. And then, but, you know, they deliver the documents and that'll fix everything, including the Soviets creating another Cuban missile crisis.
Yep. Yeah, they're like.
Then we cut back to Uncle Sam being on the news.
Yeah, which is absurd. It's hilarious, and you know, he's trying to. What does Clark say at the top of the news tonight? An Independence Day of turmoil and triumph, and a plot to undermine America thwarted by the stalwart of liberty, Uncle Sam. And then Uncle Sam is there, and you know, he just says a bunch of like, you know, patriotic stuff, and you know, we're all America, and we're gonna do this and do that. We can't let our vigilance slacken. Which is hilarious the way he words it. And, you know, Clark then says, wise words, viewers, from a living legend. And Sam says, well, I guess you could call me that, which is hilarious. But I love this epilogue here, too. What did you think of this?
Oh, I like it that the kid's like, wow, that's great. I'm going to go read it. It's the spirit of America. So he goes in there and wait for me. And then Uncle Sam's reading the comic.
Yeah, he's in the lobby and picks up the comic the kid tossed to the side because he thinks now he thinks that those documents are cool and he wants to go read up all about them. And there's a couple other kids in there, which is great. And yeah, Sam picks up the actual comic and he says, yes, sir, that old Tom Jefferson sure had a way with a phrase. He goes, go get him, Superman, as he's reading the comic.
Oh, my God. I thought it was a very cute comic, and it really, when I looked up the dates that it came out after I read it, I was like telling my wife, it's like, this comic is really kind of jingo. It's not, it doesn't cross that line into the bad kind of patriotism that I find kind of, you know, heavy-handed. Yeah. You know, the simplification of patriotism and being proud of your country is a far more complex thing that we sometimes do. And, you know, it very much like a Silver Age. It was very Silver Age-y.
Yeah, it very much was. Yeah, it very much was.
It's very simplistic. We were in a very rah-rah America kind of era. I mean, I was 18 when this came out, and it was about to vote in my first election. And you know what I mean? So, and it was, so I was like, oh, okay, this is, you know, Reagan's running for a second term. It's very much a renaissance of American patriotism in some way, for good or bad. You know, it was very much, you know, all our movies were about, ooh, the bad communists, you know, and, you know, it was very rah-rah. And that this, did you look at the publication date of this comic?
Oh, no.
The actual day it came out? July 7th.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
Yeah, so they planned it. They knew when it was coming out, so it came out 3 days after the 4th of July.
That's funny. Yeah, good timing there.
Yeah, it was. Maybe that was planned. And, you know, I found the notes about Comic Cavalcade, about where the characters... I like the Freedom Fighters, and this was a neat little kind of throwaway story.
Mm-hmm.
I did miss Phantom Lady and Firebrand in his see-through blouse.
Yeah.
But, no, it was fun. It was fun. It was a fun little comic, and I think I'm... If I read this, I would have been 18. I would have probably been a little too jaded. Because, you know, 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah. Yep, yep.
I think we know it all. And so, but I enjoyed it. I think I'm not, like I said, I like the art a lot. And I think a lot of that goes to Dave Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I really, Dave Hunt's a very heavy-handed inker. When he inks it, you know he inked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I really liked him on Irv Novak because I didn't realize it was Irv Novak until I had to, you know, went back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really, it's a fun comic. It's one of those things where it's just, you know, it's a one-off, a one and done, whatever you want to call it. That's just, and like you said, they could have, that could have came out in the Silver Age and you wouldn't have known any different either. It's just, it's very, very kid friendly, very Silver Agey, but just one of those comics where if you're looking just for a fun light read, well, you know, one afternoon.
Of,
yep.
And that's kind of what these team up books were.
Yeah.
DC, they're very one and done-y. Marvel would have two or three issue arcs in theirs, and so did they in Team Up and Marvel 2-in-1. But DC Comics Present had some really good cross stories that kind of tied together, like Mongol stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and you and I were talking too. They need to collect these. Like, there is a Superman collection out now that has some of these stories in. From DC Comics Presents, but man, you know, they have Brave and the Bold in those Omnis. Like, hey, get out some collections of this, DC.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really, and in Marvel too, they don't, there's no collections of the old Marvel 2 team ups except this. I guess they did Essentials.
Yeah, they did do Essentials of Team Up. Yep.
And they have the first two volumes of Marvel 2-in-1.
Yeah, those collections that they do. Yeah.
I don't know, understand why they don't do them. Maybe DC's getting back into, a more vigorous collection, different types of collections. They've been doing oversizes. Some they're back doing omnibuses. I'm waiting. The next one I'm getting is Fourth World, which is all the Fourth World stuff after Kirby left, including the Darkness Saga from Legion and some other stuff.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to order my Secret Six Gail Simone stuff in there, but they're doing compendiums. They're doing, early Tim Drake Robin stuff is coming out. Nightwing by McDaniels, which is when I read Nightwing. That's coming out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff coming out. And they're going to do some more omnibuses. They could collect this. They did, you know, they did Sandman Mystery Theater as a compendium. They did Starman as a compendium. They're putting Grant Morrison's Justice League out in thicker trades. Why not do some of this older stuff? Because the point I've noticed with me when it comes to omnis, I'm buying stuff that I want, and guys our age with a little more disposable income, fans, and not guys and girls, but fans of a certain age, we can now go, there's a market for it. Marvel does it all day long, man. They're putting Silver Age and early Bronze Age stuff out left and right. Why not? These people love these team-up books, and I think you would get it'd be good because they did the team-up books to kind of give secondary characters the spotlight. You know, that's why they did it. People who didn't have their own book, and maybe you could get people to want to be interested in reading some of this stuff. And since it's from an era where they're a little more all ages, put them in like little trades. Marvel does that. They have the Marvel Masterworks, but they're now shrunk down in small paperbacks, and they're like $9.99, and you get like 8 issues in it.
Yeah.
And they're doing that. They'd be great for kids. I buy those for kids all the time because it's a simpler story.
Yeah, that's a way to do it. If they don't want to do, you know, big expensive omnis or something like that, yeah, put them in smaller trades.
Yeah, 2, 4, 5 issues of it. I think you'd get kids to read it, and you get kids to go, who are the Metal Men? Let's read the Metal Men. Who's the, you know, the Freedom Fighters?
Yeah, that's yeah. The other
Dark Vendetti runs, which I loved,
mm-hmm.
but they're dark.
Yeah.
They're incredibly dark, but they're a lot of fun. So, yeah. But I like this one. It was a lot of fun. I like reading. I love these team ups. I'm always up to reading one of the big four team up books.
Absolutely. So, yeah, well, all right. Well, that's going to wrap us up here and get us out of here, my friend. But, you know, if anybody is looking for you, they can look for you online. But then your podcast as well. Stop. Let's team up. Right.
Yep. Stop. Let's team up. It's kind of sporadic right now because of work. When we record this, I'm taking 4 days. I'm taking some personal days Monday and Tuesday just to kind of decompress. And so I'm going to do a bunch of recording, get caught up on some stuff. So, and also the same with my Doctor Who podcast, Gallifrey's Most Wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everybody get out there and check those out and support Ross here. And, you know, I don't know when it's going to be. This is it's speaking of sporadic, that's going to be the the theme this year, 2024 as well for this show. You know, like I said, we're going to talk New Frontier at some point.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you and I and hopefully Mart and Ross can join us and maybe Terry. And at some point we're going to get that out and then just sprinkle in a few other goofy team ups and stuff like that. Just like this one throughout the year as well. And then I'll probably do something again around Christmas because Mart loves Christmas comics. So he loves Christmas and Christmas comics. So
cool.
So, yeah, everybody look forward to that. And then that's going to get us out of here. So as always, thank you, Ross. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right, my man.